Welcome back to the game. Tyler Dreiling, Mitch Fortner. In the second hour, Cole Manbeck joins us to give his take on the current status of K-State basketball and his reaction to the breaking news from over the weekend that Brad Underwood was departing Oklahoma State after 1 year to go to Illinois. Mitch, actually, let's start here before we get into around college basketball. I was the guy that broke that news to you at Bramlage Coliseum.
Yes. I had no idea.
What was that, on Saturday?
Yeah. During the we were at Bramlage for the women's first and second rounds. And you came over during halftime of the K-State game and let me know about it. My reaction was, what?
Yeah, just...
Why Illinois? And then I, read into it and dollar signs, you know.
Well, yeah, there's no doubt about that. There is no shortage of money in this contract for Brad Underwood, and that's why a lot of K-State fans feel like that's the nail in the coffin, that he will never return to K-State. I'm not totally ready to make that claim, but we'll get more into that in the second hour. But losing Brad Underwood was not, by any stretch, the only bad news that Oklahoma State fans have received over the last 3 days. For more, let's go around college basketball.
And now for a look around college basketball.
Bobby Knight just threw his chair clear across the free throw lane for Oakland. A shot three.
I told you to go shot to where?
There's the pass to Leitner. Puts it up.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
Kansas State heads to the Elite Eight.
This is Around College Basketball.
And like Tyler mentioned, a bad weekend for the Oklahoma State fans. It got worse today. Juwan Evans, the Cowboys' leading scorer this season at 19.2 points per game, announced he's heading for the NBA draft. Evans said he wasn't sure what he would do after OSU's loss to Michigan over the weekend, but Brad Underwood's departure likely solidified his decision.
Oklahoma State was in a pretty good place to improve in year two under Brad Underwood, and that's improve on a very solid first season. As far as seniors go, they're only losing Phil Forte and Leighton Hammonds, which are two very important players, but they've got a lot of other really promising young talent on their roster, including seven freshmen on their roster. But man, after losing Juwan Evans, I don't know where things are going to go, and there definitely should be some transfers as a result of this as well. Just rough. I said it when the news first came out. This has to sting about as much for Oklahoma State fans as it did for K-State fans when Bob Huggins left. And I absolutely think that has to be the case, especially so with Juwan Evans leaving.
I don't know if... I think Brad Underwood leaving does have something to do with Juwan Evans leaving, but I think he...
Yeah, he may have left anyway.
I think he was gone. I really do, because he was pretty good. I mean, pretty good maybe even be an understatement how good he was. And they almost beat Michigan in the NCAA tournament. They only lost by 1 point in a high-scoring game, 92-91. I was kind of surprised how high-scoring that was. But, I mean, to kind of loop this into full circle about Brad Underwood, you kind of wonder where his mind was in that game against Michigan. You know, I'm pretty sure it was set on, trying to get the Cowboys to the next round, but, in the back of his mind, he's gone.
Yeah, I mean...
He's no longer a Cowboy as soon as that tournament's over, that runs over for Oklahoma State.
The name Mike Holder is not very popular in Stillwater right now.
They totally
botched that situation. And again, we'll talk about that more in the second hour. But you know who else has been rough for the last few days? Fans of the ACC, the supposed best conference in the country.
And it's been a rough tournament for the, like you just mentioned, best conference in the tournament. The ACC put nine teams into the dance, but only one remains after the first two rounds. Meanwhile, half of the Big 12, six teams, they're still, they got the dancing shoes on, right?
And I know that some people like to compare NCAA tournament performances to like bowl season. You know, if the Big 12 has a better record than the SEC in bowl games, that must mean that the Big 12 is better than the SEC. I don't really buy into that as much because for a lot of big football programs, the only bowl game that matters is playing in the national semifinal or the national championship. And if you're not in that. You can make the case that it's harder to get fired up. Not necessarily, I mean, that doesn't happen in every single game. I'm not saying that K-State only beat Texas A&M because of that or whatever. But anyway, in the NCAA tournament, it's totally different. If you underperform in the NCAA tournament, I think you can directly make that comparison and say, well, then you were an overrated league this year, and you can definitely say that about the SEC or the ACC in basketball this year.
I thought one of the best, and I actually want to touch on this here in just a little bit with another part around college basketball, but watching the broadcast of South Carolina beat Duke, what was so great about that is, well, I believe that was the same site where North Carolina played, and North Carolina fans were still in the house, and he saw North Carolina and South Carolina fans join together, become one, and cheer against Duke.
Oh yeah,
that was, in my opinion, one of the best things to happen this tournament, especially with, you know, the first round kind of being a snooze, second round is madness, and this the icing on the cake was the joining of those two fan bases going against an ACC team, which is Duke, who's a powerhouse. But let's keep in mind, still standing is the number one seed, North Carolina.
Yeah.
And they're going to be hard to stop.
It's when there's a rivalry involved, then conference affiliation doesn't matter that much. You know, if K-State and let's say K-State, Mizzou, and Kansas were all in the same location for the NCAA tournament, you would see K-State and Mizzou fans joining together against Kansas. You wouldn't see K-State fans rooting for the Big 12, or at least not very many of them. But yeah, that was pretty cool to see. And obviously, congratulations to Frank Martin on getting to the Sweet 16. That is an amazing accomplishment. It makes things difficult as far as K-State social media is concerned. But for him individually, I feel great for him. We'll have to see how he does against Scott Drew and his boys up at Madison Square Garden later this week.
And I do want to mention about the Big 12. All three teams I'm talking about, it's KU, West Virginia, and Baylor. They're all in three different regions. So there's not a chance for them to run into each other. I'm not saying they're all three going to make the Final Four. I said a couple weeks ago I don't think any Big 12 team is going to make the Final Four this year, but one of the teams that certainly has a chance is Baylor. I like their route.
Yeah, I mean, now that they don't have to worry about Duke, don't have to worry about Villanova, absolutely.
All right, another BCU coach is headed for a Power 5 job. Will Wade has been hired at LSU after making back-to-back tournament appearances.
Not any huge news here. I think that the national experts were a little bit surprised by this move because they felt like Will Wade had not totally established himself. I mean, he certainly was not Shaka Smart or anything like that, although Shaka Smart hasn't really panned out thus far at Texas. So, I don't know. It moves the needle a little bit because you have to monitor where things are going with all of the open Power 5 jobs, and we still need to see who ends up at Cal and Washington and Indiana and all these jobs that still have to be filled. But I'm thinking that LSU made like a B-minus caliber hire.
Well, they must see something I don't, because right now Will Wade, what exactly is he proven? Obviously, BCU is a good team. They made the tournament once again, but they did that multiple times with Shaka Smart. The difference is Shaka Smart has taken – he took BCU a long way a lot of times. I mean, they were a Final Four team when they were a first four team a handful of years back. And this year they made – they didn't even make it out of the first round.
Right.
They got beat by St. Mary's.
That's a tough draw for them, but yeah.
Oh, true. But I don't know. They're kind of jumping the gun on that one, but –
even though you mentioned that it was kind of a blah first round, that does not mean it's been any easier for people to pick good brackets.
Well, even though there isn't really a Cinderella in this year's Sweet 16, doesn't mean it's been easy to project a good bracket. Only 18 brackets on ESPN's Tournament Challenge picked a perfect Sweet 16 out of 18.7 million entries.
Yeah, so that's literally a 1 in a million chance of picking a perfect Sweet 16. And that's not, I'm not saying a perfect bracket, just getting the Sweet 16 teams correct. That's amazing. And I think the closest thing that this tournament has to a Cinderella,
it's got to be South Carolina at this point, doesn't it?
What about Wisconsin? They're the 8 seed.
Yeah,
I think they're the lowest seed still in.
But Wisconsin's been there. Wisconsin's been there, and I know that Bo Ryan isn't there anymore, but people... I mean, yeah, maybe you could say Xavier, but even they have been to, I want to say, like, four Sweet 16s in the last 8 years or something like that. I mean, I don't know exactly what their stretch is, but I think South Carolina is probably the closest that we have. And even though we don't have any, like, really high double-digit seeds, like a 13 or a 14 that made it to the Sweet 16, it did pay off because of all of the upsets in the second rounds that were, you know, nine seeds beating one seeds and South Carolina beating a two seed and all that stuff. It still did make for a very interesting first 4 days of the NCAA tournament.
And you bring up a good point because you mentioned Wisconsin, Xavier, they've all been there. They've been to the Sweet 16. South Carolina's never been to a Sweet 16 in program history.
They have, I mean, they have, but it was back before the tournament expanded to 64, so making the Sweet 16 wasn't that big of a deal at the time.
But right. Still, they have made history in their own way of getting to of the Sweet 16. Frank Martin, they had the storyline on their side. They beat a team that nobody thought would get bounced this early in the tournament, especially against an SEC school that, in many people's thoughts, barely got into the tournament.
Yeah, it's been it's actually been a decent tournament for the SEC so far, at the expense of the ACC. But man, as much surprise as there was in the first two rounds, or especially in the second round, I can't believe that only 18 brackets on ESPN's Tournament Challenge had the right Sweet 16.
Three SEC schools are in the Sweet 16. And that is a solid year.
Three SEC schools, three Big 12 schools, and three former K-State head coaches.
There you go.
Are in the Sweet 16.
Stats of the day.
Yeah. All right, we're going to head to our next break here on the show. When we come back, a shout-out to the K-State women who did lose last night to Stanford, but for all intents and purposes are heading in a very positive direction. And especially a shout out to one player in particular for how she handled the end of the game. That's next on K-Man.